Good afternoon. I'll convene the Orange County Water District property meeting. Could we please take the roll?
Roll call, Director Sheldon.
Here.
Director Meeks.
Here.
Director Jung. Director Jung.
I'm sorry, present.
You, Director Yeo.
Here.
Director Green. Director Nguyen. Director Mezqua. Director Tran.
Here.
Director Wigand?
Here.
Director Lido?
Here.
You do have a form of your committee.
Thank you. Are there any items deemed too late to be agendized?
There are none.
And next is the time for visitor participation. If any member of the public let's speak on to an item on the agenda or an item in general, please raise your hand and indicate that. And I don't see any indications. So I will move on to the next item, which is our consent calendar.
Move it.
We have a motion. We have a motion by Director Yeo. Is there a second?
Second.
By Director Meeks, please take the roll.
Roll call, Director Sheldon.
Yes.
Director Meeks.
Yes.
Director Jung.
Yes.
Director Yeo.
Yes.
Director Tran.
Yes.
That motion carries 5-0.
Thank you. Move to our informational items and the Imperial Hydro Power.
Yes, thank you. I want to give it the committee an update on Imperial Highway. The committee will recall now it's been vacant for about a year, 2 years. We have investigated the property. We've had a title search done and established the boundaries of the property. We've had staff has had a met with Caltrans to discuss access from Imperial Highway, and that really was inconclusive. We weren't able to get any type of access. And then the board's direction, we've hired Voigt, the real estate group we've worked with in the past on other projects, and Mike Burnick and Mike Hefner. Mike Burnick is on the call. We hired Voigt to look into potential access from across the river from La Palma and investigating some of those properties and the potential of a developer in the future building a bridge. And I see Mike Burnick there on the call. I don't see Hefner, but if it's the chair's pleasure, I can have Mike Burnick give an update for Voigt.
That'd be great. Before we do that, I'd like to ask the committee if there are any questions of staff. Hearing none, we'll go to Mr. Vernon. Thank you.
And Mike, I've got, I'm going to share a screen, the aerial that you.
Yeah, please do, Bruce. And Mike Hefner, I just talked to him. He should be joining in a minute or two here, hopefully. I'm sure he's dealing with some technical difficulties, but happy to take it away if you guys are ready to go. So I'll wait for that screen to show up here, Bruce. But, you know, essentially.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, you can. Thank you.
Thanks, Bruce. So essentially what we've been trying to do is find the possibility of creating a road and a potential bridge over the Santa Ana River, which obviously poses some challenges, but the aerial you're looking at now are what we can identify as possibly the three viable access points to create a road and a bridge. The issue with the two sites, so I should say potential access number two and number three, is that if you can see those, they go through the parking lots of multiple buildings, which are either privately owned by owner users or owned by larger institutional investment companies, and the buildings are leased. So, you know, we feel that those access points are going to be challenging without, you know, almost rendering those buildings that are surrounding those access points unusable. So I think those are probably pretty illogical. The most logical point of access is the one on the far left, which runs in between a current baseball field and then a couple other industrial buildings. So frankly, it's been a little challenging to figure out really who is in control of that land site. After further diligence, our current understanding is that the State Board of Equalization actually has ownership rights to that site, but Edison has an easement over that site, which they've had active for, I think, close to 100 years. And there are power lines on that site. So, you know, navigating who to actually speak with about that is proven to be somewhat challenging, but we do think logistically that would be the best site to create access to our landlocked property south of the river.
Thanks.
So it looks like Hefner joined. I don't know if he has anything to add to that, but
can we blow up that easement part, driveway part?
Is that one owner? Meticulous.
I guess I believe it's State Board of Equalization.
So one owner.
What's what?
Not like those multiple they have to deal with.
So, yeah.
Tax liens, state owners. Interesting.
But Edison has rights over it.
You put a driveway under
Mike, Director Meeks asked or confirmed that Edison has rights over that.
Yes, that's our understanding.
Are they using those? Is there transmission lines over?
There's power poles right in the middle of it. So it's not like it's even to one side or the other. It's they're like right down the middle. And I went by it. What's the width of the, because it narrows as it gets closer to the river. What's the width there?
See if I have that. Director Meeks, bear with me. I'm sorry.
But to your point, Director Mead, this is Mike Hefner, by the way. Can you hear me?
Yes.
That was great. To your point, we'd probably need to figure out a way to continue the width all the way back to the, you know, from the street to the riverbed. So, you know, just where it narrows is probably too narrow for any kind of real meaningful public access.
Yeah, especially as you would come to a bridge. Have those, you know, supports and grade differences and things as you approach the river.
Yeah, I do not have that width. I apologize.
Okay. Yeah, the reality of the other two access points is now we're dealing with multiple private property owners. And in some cases, depending as you move east, those lanes get pretty narrow. And then we have some building encroachments on the most easterly one where the owner user is, yeah, their property. The building on the south end of that access point is very close to the what we would foresee as being the easement, the access easement. So all three entry points have present challenges, obviously, and the more parties involved, the more complicated it gets. The beauty of the one site that we identified is it's really not being utilized for anything other than Edison's easement. And there are not much in the way of improvements we'd have to work around other than maybe realigning the driveway to the west to avoid, having to work around that owner user own property to the easterly side of that easement area.
Mike, you and I had discussed what the next steps might be here in terms of OCWD pursuing anything with that easement, and that doesn't really look likely from our point of view. But you and I had talked about maybe a next step might be putting together some type of exclusive negotiating agreement or some instrument, non-binding, but some instrument that perhaps we could hire Voight to market and bring someone in, or you know, have multiple developers perhaps that may be interested in bidding on an ENA, something like that.
Yeah, no, I think that's a logical step. I mean, obviously the property has challenges, but given the visibility on the freeway and the and where it's located, infill, mature marketplace, the idea would be to, you know, engage the marketplace, identify a developer who would be willing to, you know, expend the capital to negotiate option agreements with the property owners that we're talking, we've identified here, with public agencies to get a right of way and explore the construction of a bridge over the riverbed and the costs associated with that, as well as a feasibility study of what type of development the city would ultimately permit on the site, provided we can secure the access. But given that the district isn't in a position or interested in acquiring access rights over any of these three potential entries, and maybe there's something that we're missing here. I don't think we've overlooked much as far as the points of potential points of entry with the least amount of improvement or acquisition obligations. In other words, we're not buying structures and having to relocate tenants and or owner occupants. But finding a party that's willing to engage and expend some money to further investigate the viability of the site for development, as well as these potential entry points and the construction of a bridge. Without some party leading that charge at this point, it becomes pretty challenging to go much further with us. Even if we have ownerships that are willing to engage in discussions for right-of-ways over their private property or a public agency that might provide it to us, without a party leading the charge and wanting to negotiate some economic terms, we really don't have much further that we can go with the concept.
Hey, I have some thoughts. I'm going to wait, Director, Mr. President.
Does anybody know that baseball field? Whose facility is that? Is that private?
Yes.
That is private, yes.
Yeah. That was a church school, I think. I don't think that they run a school anymore, but that, I think that whole site there to the west is a single owner owned by that church now.
That's correct, yes. So Dwelling Place Church owns it. They do use the field. I've been out there a couple times and talked to the operators, and that is accurate. They do own the field.
And they're not interested in selling it.
They say they use it. doesn't mean maybe they're not interested in selling it, but
did you talk to the baseball team, or did you talk to the pastor of the church?
Yeah, both actually.
Yeah, we did talk to the church operators, because they had actually approached Edison at one point in the past trying to explore whether or not they could use this easement we're talking about for their own access, and they, I mean, who knows how much of an effort they put into that, but they didn't get very far. But we do know they own the baseball field.
Well, and Director Sheldon, I think where you're headed on this is it possible to, you know, acquire from the church, who still controls that property, a wide enough easement area to provide access through their site, rather than trying to negotiate around these easements that Edison has and the power lines that they currently have on that property. That's probably the most logical entry point for access to the district property. So,
does Edison allow parking under their easement?
They could be pretty
restricted. Any other? Okay. Are there any questions? Any other questions? That Director Meeks.
We've negotiated under Edison easements on a number of occasions.
I'm sorry?
He's getting cut out.
Yeah, after you froze and then you came back in, but
okay, I'm back with you. Sorry about that.
Will you answer the question on parking under the Edison lines?
We've had some success with that. Generally, the easements we've dealt with don't allow combustible materials under a parking easement under their Edison easement lines. It depends on the transmission lines, but you know, it varies from site to site in our experience. I haven't negotiated a parking agreement under an Edison easement in quite a while, but Mike and I have negotiated other leases for outside storage, and it does involve some vehicle traffic and vehicle parking. So yeah, I don't think it's scrutinized, but I wouldn't bank on that being a long-term use. I should say a long-term viable use under an Edison easement.
Thank you. Director Tran, do you have a question?
I do. I'm still very unclear, Mr. Chairman, as to what the recommendation is. Okay, now we identify potential ingress, egress sites. Moving forward, what exactly are we going to do with this? And I'd like to hear recommendations from the experts on this in terms of action items. Moving forward.
Dr. Jan, thank you. I have a few more questions. So if I may.
Go ahead. Yes.
First was to help me out with my recollection, Director Meeks. Is there any kind of flyover or connection between on Rear Canyon, Savvy Ranch? Is there any connection over Rear Canyon? I thought there was some type of something there.
In Savvy Ranch, we have two tunnels that go under Rear Canyon.
Okay.
Kind of provides circulation within Savvy Ranch.
Those were constructed the past 20 years or 30 years?
More than that. That first one in, so probably 30 years ago.
It's not long ago.
It's not, yesterday. But it's not over the river. I mean, it's adjacent to the river.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think it's easier to go to work with. I mean, Caltrans isn't easy, but others, the Corps of Engineers, it's just another animal. So
there is connectivity on the two properties on either side of Rear Canyon. It's Savvy Ranch. Okay.
It's not Caltrans property, though.
Right. I understand that.
It does not impact their
ranch. That was my first question. So it just seems to me, you know, we've played with Caltrans on this for at least 10 years, and we tried, and Director Yeo was present, and under the frustrations we had trying to get them to put that property just out to market, and their lack of cooperation and gouging of us on tens of thousands of dollars of their cost. So but that's just a preface to my question. To my questions is to Voight's. Does the property that we have residential capability? Is it? It's out of the floodplain. Is there any things that you see that it could not be residential?
I can't answer whether or not it has, you know, economic viability right now as a residential site. That kind of depends on the land basis. And accessibility is everything here.
Well, take accessibility out.
Okay. So if that's out of the equation, it would certainly be conducive. And we're marketing a very similar property on the 22 freeway corridor right now for a high-density residential multifamily site. So, you know, ultimately it depends on the density the city would permit. Is it ideal for sale product or some combination of the two potentially? It could be ideal for a combination of hospitality, some quasi-retail, mixed-use business parks, light office product, but office is a very challenging marketplace. So, you know, on a whole, the site could be suitable for a number of types of uses, but then you could roll back to the accessibility. So, you know, the residential is probably viable because it might be a relatively low impact. Multifamily obviously has a higher traffic count and a bigger impact on the infrastructure because of another number of residents on the property. So that's the type of, it kind of leads into the answer to the question Director Tran was asking, which is what's the next step? And, you know, the church may be very open to negotiating a very wide easement across their property for the right amount of consideration, which would be viable for the construction of a bridge onto the property. But if the district's not the buyer or the one that secures the long-term rights to for that access point without a developer principal in tow to negotiate that, we're kind of at a standstill. So we could...
Thank you for your answer, Mr. Hefner. So my next is if yes, residential mixed use wouldn't probably have a very good walking score, and that how that goes with these developments. But I think we need to find a way to go around Caltrans. I mean, I just think that's our access is our problem with this project. We haven't looked at sewer and water yet, but access is our major problem. And I would suggest that we consider running legislation to have Caltrans sell this property. They are playing games with us for decades. We're a housing crisis. We're an affordable housing crisis. We need this property. The state wants this land type of land developed. If it has that suitability, and we should confirm that. I think we should get a bill introduced this session. We should get a meeting with the Caltrans, who's the director for this area, and sit down with them as we plan these things and meet with that individual and ask them if they will work with us to get it out to bid. And if they won't, then Lori Davies, the vice chair of the Assembly Transportation Committee, is going to carry a bill, or the chair of the committee is going to carry a bill. I mean, we need to – I think this is a very valuable piece of property that we need to move on. And going over Weir Canyon is tough, but it's nothing like going over that river. That's a whole other ballgame with Corps of Engineers. So I would suggest that we take that approach with it. That's what I would do if it was my property. And because that's how I'm seeing our hang up is Caltrans. So
for some clarification, what are you suggesting the access be? Because the reason Caltrans is not granted access off of Imperial is for safety considerations, and that's a tough one to overcome.
Well, you know, I don't think we've brought in a traffic engineer just really to that we've paid to really look at that, and it whatever that is, that can be made safe. Okay, I mean they look for reasons to say no, and not for reasons to say not try to say yes. That I'll tell you right now, that can be made safe. I don't know how, but
we hired an engineer to come up with plans. We hired a traffic engineer. Remember the crazy traffic circle?
Well, I don't. You know, I think the traffic circle was not. I've seen roundabouts in a lot of communities. They were great. I think Caltrans has looked at ways to say no, and I'd like to try another. I'd like to look at the access, and we have. You know, you can even have a right in, right out. You can have this, and we have the problem because Caltrans owns the land adjacent to. Imperial Highway. So we kind of had a concern there, but we've got to get a real serious look at the access issue. It can be engineered. It's not impossible to engineer. I don't believe that.
If I may, Steve, yeah. I think before we go to the legislative route, this area, this used to be planned as the eastern terminus of the 405 freeway. Okay. And so you got a lot of cars coming down the. That's actually designed to freeway standard. So to Director Meek's point, it would be extremely difficult to overcome the safety concern of car driving at high speed, you know, southbound Imperial trying to access the freeway, and then we're going to hinder the flow of traffic there. So
I don't agree with that, Roger. I'm sorry, I'm not a traffic engineer, but I have reviewed many, many traffic plans, and we have queuing room. We can have another. There is ways to solve this problem. If someone wanted to, I hear you about the traffic counts, but can we put more cars on? But we've got a lot of room to put pavement down to work with what that system already is. We can widen the Imperial Highway on our side of the river because all that piece of land that we have right here, we could add another 100 feet on the west side of Imperial Highway, south of the bridge.
Yeah, what I had suggested in the past wasn't making this a traffic circle, but rather the on-ramp itself turn into a traffic circle.
Beautiful.
So you get cars to get in and out of this area.
I love it.
That's
beautiful.
That's one potential.
That's a great
idea. It's going to take, you need to have some preliminary study so that you can present this idea to Caltrans engineers. without expending a lot of money. You know, potentially that's one way to gain access. There are examples of that kind of setup in other places. But Caltrans is not going to spend their staff time to do that. We'll have to hire
someone. We've got to bring each other.
Look into that, you know, and this is not completely flat. So, you know, you're talking about the cost of constructing a bridge versus building a traffic circle. That's at the end of the day, may not be a favorable option compared to building a bridge.
We just built a roundabout in Oceanside that was not as large as this one, but it was four lane and two lanes on each two lane. Literally a roundabout there in Oceanside off the 76 freeway. So I'm just saying is we have land. That's one thing that we have. We have room to spread out. We have room to add lanes. We have room to add a roundabout on our property. What we have is room. And we can look at if we need to raise the pad. We know that we need to get a lot of dirt out of the river or out of Prado and here and there. We've got our own dirt that we can bring in. I just say let's really get – I'd like to get a traffic engineer commission that to really try to come up with some creative solutions. Yours was a great creative solution. I believe they're out there. We have the land. We can solve this problem. And we have the east side of Imperial Highway that has 20 acres over there. That has potential. So,
I know Caltrans. Yes,
yeah. That's part of the legislation. So yeah,
they might laugh at our ideas because you know this.
That's why we're getting the legislation.
This is probably the safest. Okay, it's a nice sweeping kind of change, and you're creating conflict points by introducing. And the roundabout, you're not solving a safety issue. You're creating problems.
Okay. Yeah, I'll give you a conflict point. Yeah. You come out of the South Coast Plaza onto Bristol, and they're next to the freeway. You make a right, and you got to get over a lane. You've got 100 feet to get on this way on the freeway. We have so much more. We have acres and acres to make sure we don't have those conflicts, okay? I think we can work on something here, and not we're allowing ourselves to be pigeoned by one government agency when another government agency wants to have a lot more of development done. And I think we've got to, yes, give them a good plan, but you do things concurrently.
I have some input, and there is one traffic engineer in the room today. Can't we have Caltrans just bring this out here and have this a right turn entrance? And then we could put our access back here, which will be enough. Area, potentially widen this as well. I mean, it'd be enough area. I mean, they're not going to like that. They'd like that nice sweeping on ramp, but it is a solution and it would work.
That's why I mentioned that. Do we have pedestrian safety issues? If so, actually squaring that interchange like that would help. Helping with the pedestrian safety issue. Actually, this is turning into residential. It's very walkable. It's needed.
Roger, we can put in a staging area. There's another word for it. Parking for people that want to get on the river, ride to the beach, that want to go the other direction. We have a lot of opportunities to create benefits and amenities for the entire region right here. So there's ways to package this up. But we just have to get, look at things that can be a part of a project like this. And that parking can be used as a dual purpose for something else in the evening. But there's things that people like that we can bring to this.
So Mr. Traffic Engineer, how much effort is that to do a micro simulation of those options and see how that would impact the traffic flow in the area? Right? If you have backup issues, and obviously you might potentially introduce rear-end accidents.
Who did we hire? Was it Zimmerman?
No, we hired Adam Streeter. They're civil engineers, but then they pulled in a traffic engineer just to consult over
Petrozzi.
He's the guy that did. I think he did a lot of the work with OC Vibe and some of the other. Yeah,
he knows Anaheim
very well.
He can do. There's a program called Synchro, and he could utilize that to simulate what the traffic flow would be to make sure it would work and make sure it wouldn't queue up too much. On a Imperial Highway. So that's like a $5,000 exercise probably to have him micro simulate all that.
We could add two lanes on either side of Imperial Highway on this side of the bridge, just that if that doesn't ease some congestion, add a better pedestrian walkway, a better bike lane there. We've got land to do things. So I'm, you know, more I think about this, I'm encouraged about it. We should hire that consultant.
You know, Director Meeks serves on the TCA board with the Caltrans Nature Trail director. I'm sure she sort of looks out with her.
I believe that that right turn proposal was something that the Streeter looked at in the initial analysis of the interchange. And you can go back and look
that
at it.
What it is, you know?
I mean, they...
At a top level, yes. Yes, it was, along with Prisiday, I believe. And Prisiday's conclusion was that Caltrans isn't going to budge on this. We didn't hire him directly and his firm directly to really engineer, not cartoon, but engineer roundabouts and turn lanes and come up with an engineered solution. And we could talk to him about doing
that. I do agree with Steve. I mean, Caltrans is essentially landlocked, just which is not legal. They have to work with us. They have to cooperate with us to give us access. And they have not been cooperative. We paid them. They
didn't landlock us for the purpose of the Orange County Water District. It is Orange County Water District property, and I believe we have access to that site for purposes of operating.
That is correct.
Our operations. That so they have correct. Not landlocked us. You are asking for different access.
I think we're landlocked either way. It's all we have. Yeah. I think we get it right now on the bike trail. We're
just on the bike trail.
Yeah, we are landlocked.
I think
right
if
now.
We came at them with an actual solution that's a little more refined, I think they get more cooperation out. And then if they didn't cooperate, we can take other avenues.
Yeah, and don't go straight to the top. I think a good starting point actually might be we think that is a good solution. You know, without spending a lot of money, sit down with their permits office. The district permit engineer is going to sit down and say, well, what if you try this? And you could do that. Or my experience is that is a dead end. Don't go there. You know, you're going to get some free guidance. You know, instead of, because we go straight to the top, to the district officer, and she's going to pull in the experts. The first thing they're going to say is that you're potentially creating a safety issue, cars backing up. So, you know, Steve, trust me, I'm trying to come up with.
No, I've heard that dozens of times in cities.
Right.
So, Roger, I don't disagree with you. I'm not disagreeing with anything you said. I think if we can get the district engineer, that's wonderful. I'd love that's like going to the planning director. I'd love to get that information. I agree with the approach. I'm just kind of starting the conversation and throwing a lot of things on the table. I'm not advocating any extreme measures. I'm just saying here's ways that we can go. And I think if we get the meeting in a reasonable time with the district engineer, that'd be wonderful.
Yeah, I spent a little time in Caltrans Legislative Affairs. So if you go to the legislative solution, you're going to bring in Sacramento. They're probably more difficult to work with than the district. They're going to find a way to say no. Seriously. So don't go that route.
We'll need
to draw the attention and piss them off.
Right. I'm just throwing, you know, all these things on the table.
They'll throw all kinds of federal code of regulations.
blah, blah, blah. I'm sorry, but I've been in too many cities when I have a staff person tell me something that at the end of the day works out just fine, Roger. But we're going to go the approach. I agree with your approach. I absolutely agree with it. So let's try to get the district engineer. I think we bring on this traffic consultant that Dennis mentioned and this $5,000 process to look at that. And we have to bring him something. I would not show up there without any really good plans or hands for them to edit. And they'll give us good feedback. But I'm just saying, you know, this is a common problem. Sometimes you have a half acre property and sometimes you have a 20 some acre property. Just say
yeah, what Dennis mentioned there is potentially a viable proposal compared to the roundabout that I talked about. But we need to do our diligence. We need to provide some numbers, right? So the micro-simulation exercise might be appropriate.
And we could tie our egress into that traffic signal that's already there, make it a four-way, only a T-intersection.
In here?
Where's the land that's boxed out?
Here, right?
Yeah.
That Caltrans. So we own everything in green, but Caltrans owns that gray, right. That
Caltrans, brown area? Caltrans owns this, and Caltrans owns the entire parcel on the east side of the river, the Imperial Highway.
So it's not our land for the green to having to create a new exit point.
Right.
So we have to convince them to letting their land have this new.
No. New drive. With all due respect, this is the people's land, taxpayers' land, not Caltrans' land. Just like our land is not our land, it's the people's land. We have to go through any kind of a process. They've been sitting on this for decades and decades and decades. They're not doing anything with it. We have a proposal to make it useful to the people. So that's our approach, really. It does not belong to Caltrans. It belongs to the state of California.
It's the proposal that we're having here. We can come up with something that's kind of win-win, you know, and without creating too much problem for the traveling public, then that would be an option that Caltrans would accept. So like I said, you know, Dennis mentioned that we're potentially modifying the interchange there. It's, you know, we have to do some due diligence and just say that, well, why don't you do that, Caltrans? Like, no, okay, we're fine the way it is, right? You're the one that has something, and we'll work with you, come up with some solutions.
So we have to put an RFP out for a company that will do that, or can we just...
We can do that. We have a purchasing power of $25,000 from the general manager signature. If the committee agrees, we can recommend that.
Chairman,
because this is an informational item.
Yeah, we put it on the next board agenda.
Board or this meeting?
Property
agenda.
For the board.
We go straight to the board.
It's not a big.
Yeah, we just can't create a major inconvenience for our convenience. You know, it has to be
We're
engineered.
Right. Yeah. I kind of, you know, maybe led with the most aggressive thing ultimately, but that was just to kind of maybe get everyone's attention. And then I wouldn't go into any city without plans. I wouldn't go into Caltrans without what we've all discussed. I think that's, we have to have all of that work done.
The last thing I'll say is maybe Caltrans doesn't need that on ramp, because if they fully signalize an intersection, you could get on the other on-ramp to the westbound 91, right? That's right.
You mean this way?
Yeah.
Just eliminate this?
Yeah,
it all depends on the traffic count.
You might have to widen the bridge. Very high. You might have to widen the bridge to create a...
It's public information. We actually have information about the annual traffic count in this area. I could probably dig it up. It's... Like,
I mean, there's other ways to do it. You don't have to widen the bridge, though, to create
and Caltrans did bring that up. It was a concern, several concerns, but one was the bridge would likely have to be widened, that it would create we discussed the intersection, and it was a great idea, but the intersection concern was it would cause backups based on the traffic counts. I mean, and that's why, and I'll remind the committee, too, thanks to Director Wigand, we had to get some of the local legislators involved to get Caltrans to even meet with us on this. So it's a long process trying to even get a meeting with Caltrans. But we discuss a lot of these issues. However, if we were to get a traffic engineer to give us an engineered solution that covers all of these topics, which is not what we did with Adam Streeter, you know, maybe we could come back with numbers and we can come back with a concept for doing it. But the next step, what's the next step? We do that. The next step is looking for somebody interested. You know, we're looking for a viable path forward with access. And the next step then is also looking for someone who may want to do something with them. Yeah, I think an ENA actually would be good. You know, use somebody else's money to develop solutions for us. And, you know, we've had this discussion so many times that, to me, I think the simplest is probably still building a bridge.
by building the bridge is to avoid all the trouble, right? And so what is the purpose of we're trying to create value for the land? Are we working with, are we planning on, we don't have the answers. Are we working with developers, develop something for long term, we're just collecting lease? Or then maybe making an investment of that shielding the bridge is worth it. But if we're just going to turn around and sell it, spending $10-15 million building a bridge may not be a good thing, right? So those are all the questions that have not been answered at this point. ENA might be good to see some input from developers.
Caltrans have any interest in selling the property to the east, developing the property to the east?
This property over here, they have not shown any interest to us. And I think also talking to Rudy and Mommy at the city, none to the city either.
Well, the Anaheim pursued the acquisition of that property, right?
Yeah, we had we were pretty close to a deal for sports fields there, but then there was legislation passed that you couldn't build sports fields within 500 feet of the freeway. And so I was like, well, we don't need it then.
Director Train has a question. But so there was an auto dealership also there?
That's right up there.
That came out in the
documents. Auto dealers, those two uses generate a lot of car trips. So thousands of car trips. So
I think they had to test that dealer, like, right?
No, I think here, right? What I'm saying is they were looking at proposing sports fields and a car dealership that generates a lot of traffic.
Oh, no.
So all I'm saying. Sports fields generate lots of traffic.
Well, we were also going to have bridge over the river
on that side. All right. So, Director Train, you have a question?
Not really. I mean, I'm listening to all the discussions, and and it's very, very interesting and expansive. But at the end of the day, I mean, we've been mulling over this issue or this project for a while. I just like to see some action items, but there are several moving parts. It's almost like a chicken or an egg scenario. Which ones will go first? Because if you're going to ask for an interested investor or developer to come in, they're not gonna put money to build a bridge or invest any real. I don't believe in any real money to try to figure out what to do with the property without any assurances from the city or the government agency that, you know, this is going to take off. It's going to take off for them. It's just too risky. I would recommend that, and then with Voight's assistance, and Voight has been great about this, there are a couple things that needs to be done first. And if we're serious about working with Caltrans, which is the most viable, it seems, most viable in terms of the geography here, the landscape here, then we do we retain a consultant to do some due diligence that Director Yo talked about before approaching Caltrans, and get Caltrans's assurances or commitment to work with us, so that, you know, if I'm a developer, I'm not going to, right now, there's nothing. There's no assurances on anybody, by anybody or from anybody, for me to do anything. So I just don't see anything that's concrete. But we need to take some action. Got to put some skin in the game here, and that is to do some minimal due diligence, you know, in terms of getting a consultant to run over some traffic scenario or ingress-egress scenario before approaching Caltrans and work with them to see where they are, and if we need to apply political pressure or legislation, then that's the next step. But I tend to agree with Director Yo that you know, we work with the staff first and get some of their buy-in, because if they recommend certain alternatives and that's viable and workable for us, when we approach or escalate it to the management level for their approval, it's a lot easier. It's a lot easier. But I think we need to take some action here and put put some skin in the game in terms of our investments. Not a lot, but some investments to really flesh out as to what's the most viable way to deal with this project, which we don't right now. We're talking in a vacuum, really.
And I just looked it up very quickly for director needs. The traffic volume, 67,000 cars go through the area every day. 67,000. Yeah, and peak hour is close to 4,500 cars. That's a lot of cars. And to modify the traffic flow, whatever we're doing there is potentially impeding the traffic flow.
Slowing traffic or stopping traffic at a signal rather than getting one on the freeway.
I believe we can make the traffic situation better because we have land. If you can grow Imperial Highway to the west and to the east with additional lanes and bike lanes and such, you do create more.
Yeah, if we're growing this bridge, that Highway 90 bridge, right, we might as well just build a new one. It's cheaper.
Well, I don't know we'll see if we need to grow the bridge, but maybe we could redesign the wing. I don't know if this development would bring in any more traffic than Sports Fields and the car dealership would have brought in, but they were going to build a bridge over. Anyways, a mere consensus that we should have the Dennis, if you'd like to articulate the traffic engineer approach, and we can make a motion on that. Somebody can make a motion on that.
This is an informational item.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We can formally direct staff to.
And I'm going to ask Bruce if he can email me the documents that Adam Streeter has already produced so we can understand how depth they got with these concepts. They may have already evaluated it. I don't want to go back and
him again to pull out the same documents.
I go to Prisiday.
Yes,
I see it's directly, but I can do that.
Okay. And we could put this on the full board agenda, and by that time, maybe we'll have a better idea what direction we're going with.
Any other comments? Very good conversation.
Is there direction, though, with the traffic engineer?
And then you're going to send Dennis some information, yes, and then he's going to get back to you and then we'll put something on the board if that's found to be correct.
Or president could give you direction.
Right.
I understand if I need to do something and talk to President and Associates.
You may need to. But Dennis wants to look at what they did first, and then he'll get back to you. So, great. And then, so the more we can solve the problem, these problems, the more valuable the property is. Move on to our next update of the remediation.
Yes, and this one I'm going to turn over to Kevin O'Toole and give an update. Thanks, Bruce. Sorry, hold on. Not sharing. See the screen, right? Thank you, Bruce. Good afternoon, Director Sheldon, members of the committee. I'm going to provide a quick update on our activities on the Prado Lead Remediation Project. We were last at the update to the board in November, and I'm going to provide some updates that have occurred since that point. So since the November update, we have received the results of our geotechnical report. Been very favorable. Report shows that the materials on site are very stable, which is very conducive for us to constructing this on-site camo. In addition, what we've also, with the stable soils, it may allow us to have a deeper camo and potentially steeper sides, which may be able to accommodate more material with smaller footprint. So that's a very positive thing. So we're able to take this recommendation that was provided by the developer, and we've determined this is, with the geotechnical results, a very
plausible locations. That's very good news. We did also receive some vertical profile sampling that we were doing to help us refine the estimated volume of materials that were going to need to be excavated and remediated. The initial results actually indicate more materials likely, which is kind of an unfortunate reality, but it's good for us to know this information now before we finish the design. And so we're right now evaluating this data with our consultant and trying to figure out what our next steps are going to be as far as doing additional sampling to determine a more accurate volume. And that information will be incorporated into the final cabinet design. So we are right now in the process of evaluating potential vertical profiling sites, and we're looking at our existing budget to see where there's opportunities to do that under our existing budget. So more to come on that information, but I just wanted to provide a quick update to the board on that, and I'll be happy to answer any questions if there are any.
Questions? Anyone online that has questions?
Yep.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Move on to our quarterly reports on leases.
Yes, and I'm going to turn that over to our property manager, Daniel Park.
Hi, Daniel. Thank you, Director Sullivan. For the fourth quarter, you'll see in your report, it shows a 14.4% decrease, but that decrease was due to two lessees paying their rents early. So that was reported by our county department a little early. For the year, however, we had a 7.6% increase, $138,000 in annual rent. That's combined. That basically is in line with our annual rent increases, along with our gross receipts revenue that they would receive from Corona Recreation and the Aqua Park. So they had some successful years in the last year. Went on to the renewals for the first quarter. We do not have any. For the second, we have our normal annual renewals for the duck hunting leases, the Prado Basin Duck Club and the Rahaga Duck Club, both expiring June 30th of 2025. The staff will bring that back to the committee in the next coming months. As far as lease compliance, our lessees and licensees are in full compliance. Everybody has paid up their rents on time. And for the most part of 2024, no issues. They've been really good at paying their rent, so I haven't had to get on about that. So as far as license agreements issued by the general manager in the fourth quarter of 2024, have none. That will exclude the rent report.
Thank you. Any questions? Great. We'll move on.
No, I'm sorry. Did everybody see that the Anaheim's Lake got like the top 10 trout fishing locations in the nation? Like, they beat out places in Montana.
Yes, they did.
It's
good. Eat more good stuff in Anaheim. Thank you. Great. So our next item, we'll put the consent on the board agenda. And our next is any director comments or reports? Seeing none, general manager comments or reports?
Nothing to report.
Thank you. We are adjourned. 12:53.